Luke chapter 9, starting at verse number 1. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. And Luke chapter 10, starting at verse number 1. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. If you've been reading through the Gospel of Luke, recall, if you will, earlier in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus made a special designation of some of those who were following him. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 12, we read, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whose name is Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who would become a traitor. Now, the word apostle literally means one who is sent. So Jesus designated these 12 as those who would eventually be told to go. To go and do something. In chapter 9 of Luke, we are introduced to the sending out. And this would not be the last time that Jesus would do such a sending. We just read in chapter 10 that Jesus sent out an additional 72. That number could be 70. Early manuscripts are equally divided on whether that number should be 70 or 72. Nonetheless, these followers are now officially on a mission. These men have been following Jesus and ministering together with Jesus. Jesus is essentially now telling these apostles to go out on their own and to put into practice what they have seen and witnessed their Lord do. Our church, don't miss this. The reason we need to pay close attention to what Jesus is doing is that it should be our intention to mimic exactly what Jesus did. The reason the opponents accused Jesus' disciples along with Jesus was because his disciples were doing what Jesus did. Discipleship is about following and doing what the teacher says and what the teacher does. I will watch closely what he does. As Jesus taught good news of the kingdom of God to the people. So as a follower, I'm going to teach good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus reached out to the outcast. So as followers, we're going to reach out to outcasts. Jesus had compassion for the sick and hurting. So as followers of Jesus, we're going to have compassion on the hurting and the sick. Jesus hung out with sinners. So the followers of Jesus will hang out with sinners. And these actions weren't popular. And it caused the opponents of Jesus to question his religion, his spirituality, and his sanity. So guess what? Followers of Jesus will be questioned and challenged in the same way. Now, I hope this isn't bad news. It's just truth. When you hang out with sinners or people who have despicable reputations, people will accuse you of condoning sin or may even lump you in with the sinful behavior. They did it to Jesus. They'll do it to you. When you are ministering to the poor, people might accuse you of wasting resources on the poor, telling you that there are better uses for that ministry or those funds or those resources. They did it to Jesus. They'll do it to you. Jesus spent time on his knees in prayer and spent time, a lot of time, with the sick and the hurting. And when you do that, people will question your sanity, telling you you're wasting your time praying these prayers that don't go anywhere. They did it to Jesus, and they'll do it to you. Those are the costs associated with following Jesus. Now, don't miss this, church. If you intend to be a follower of Jesus, if you intend to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to expect that people will treat you in the same exact way that they treated Jesus. It seemed important that the apostles follow Jesus around for a while before he sent them out on a mission on their own. Yes, Jesus chose them. Yes, Jesus qualified them. Yes, Jesus taught them. And yes, Jesus equipped them. But most important, Jesus prepared them. Before sending the apostles out, he told them to watch closely, pay close attention to what I say and what I do. Pay close attention to my actions and my words and pay close attention at the way that people treat me. Pay close attention to my faith. You see, Jesus' faith and trust in God would prove to be instrumental in their mission. Did you notice what he told them to take on their mission? Luke chapter 9, verse number 3 says, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic." Did you notice what Jesus said regarding their accommodations? Luke chapter 9, verse number 4 says, "Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town." Did you notice what Jesus said in regards to being rejected or accepted? Luke chapter 9, verse number 5 says, if people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. Now, I don't know about you, but when I travel, I overprepare. I'm traveling in a couple of hours to West Virginia. It's just 2 hours away. I'll only be gone for 3 days, but I have made sure that I have enough outfits for 3 days, including extra underwear. You just never know. Just saying. Multiple pairs of shoes, a change in watches, a book bag full of books. Two computers, my cell phone, my GPS with all the Burger Kings and the GPS. Those of you who know me know about Burger King. My debit card, some extra cash, my medicine, and enough packs of gum to keep me satisfied. I don't travel unless I am prepared for all emergencies. I mean all emergencies. Now, those of you who know me best know what I mean. Now, I'm not sure what to make of Jesus' instructions to his apostles. Why so skimpy on the what to bring list? Could this be yet another instance of Jesus teaching a great truth to his apostles and to us? Could this be Jesus' repeated invitation to live a life that is marked not by our own will, power, or competence, but a life that is marked by the presence of totally relying on God? For in taking no money, you rely on God. You're saying, I trust in God to feed me, to clothe me, to sustain me. Don't forget, Jesus didn't live in the suburbs. Jesus didn't have a house to call his home. In chapter 9, verse number 58, he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus was homeless, church. Jesus had demonstrated his trust in God for reliance, and God never left him hanging. The apostles were to learn that their life and survival was not dependent upon their ability to provide for themselves, but through God's providence. And church, there's something in there for us to learn, because we get agitated and we get worried about how we're going to do some things, or if the 401k isn't as big as it used to be, or if the savings account isn't big as it used to be, or if the paycheck isn't as big as it used to be because Uncle Sam wants a little bit more, or the city wants more, or the school wants more, and we get worried about not having enough. But with God, church, we have everything. That's a simple truth that we have to live and we have to believe. And Jesus doesn't send us out with this for us to go out there and to worry about how God's going to provide for us. See, I think Jesus is inviting his apostles to say, listen, you've watched me. No home, no reasonable income. But I'm on a mission and God is taking care of me. You see, for in relying on others to house them, they learned that it was okay to allow God to use others to take care of what they needed. There's a strong presence in the human condition of independence that consumes us. You see, we don't like to impose. We don't like others to help, as it might be an inconvenience to them. But Jesus had a ministry that would have been severely hampered if he didn't allow people to help. Remember the women in chapter 8, verse number 3, where it says these women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, don't underestimate or disregard who God will use to serve you while you serve others. For in responding the way Jesus suggested, in the shaking the dust off of your feet, you see, that was a way of saying, just keep walking. It was a way of saying the people, primarily Jews, were rejecting God, but their rejection would not be a deterrent to the mission at hand. Fear of rejection is part of the human condition. Remember when we were young boys, or young girls, but I think this was mainly the boys that used to write that letter in school. Do you like me? And we had the three boxes. Oh, some of y'all still doing that in high school now. Yes, no, or maybe. And then it took a, man, you drawing the box. You know about this, huh, Noah? But why did we do that? Because we fear rejection. That's an easy way to be let down. You know, well, listen, she didn't say yes. She said maybe, or, you know, she didn't answer at all. She could have said no. We fear rejection. And rejection will take place. But rejection is not to be a deterrent to the mission. So shake the dust off of your feet and keep on walking in mission with God. We might encounter rejection, but don't allow that to cause you to abandon that mission. You see, this world is big, and there are a lot of people in this world, And you might be rejected by one, but this world is much bigger than that one person, than that one town, that one community. Moving forward to chapter 10 in Luke, we see an episode of Jesus choosing an additional 70 or 72 to send out. Now again, I want to mention that some scholars, and as they look at the Greek manuscripts of this text, some of the manuscripts have the number 70, some of the manuscripts have the number 72. Now many commentators lean toward the number 70 because it identifies Jesus in the vein of Moses, who had chosen 70 elders to go out and to prophesy to the people of Israel. You see, in Israel, there was much rebellion against the word of the Lord. And in the days of Moses, he needed help preaching God's message in order to get the people to save themselves from eventual destruction. The calling of the additional disciples to go out on mission sounds like a final desperate measure to preach primarily to the Jews regarding the kingdom of God. Jesus even invokes Sodom and lays out some pretty drastic consequences of rejecting God. It would be similar to telling someone who is not taking care of their health to make the appropriate changes now, or you're going to pay for it. Jesus gives some of the same instructions he gave to the 12 earlier, but he adds quite a bit. As this was an urgent mission, he tells them not to greet people on the road. Stay focused. He also said, when you enter a house, greet them with peace. Let's look at that once again in chapter 10, verse number 5. It says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Peace. What the Jews wanted was a Messiah that would bring war. War with their enemies. War with their oppressors. Everything that was taken from them, they wanted it back. That's why they were looking for a Messiah in the likeness of King David. They wanted a warrior that wasn't going to ask for their stuff back. They wanted someone who was going to demand that they give it back. And if they refused to give it back, they were going to take it back by force. Here again is where his followers misread the true presence of God's kingdom. In fact, Jesus' words of warning given in this passage wasn't directed at the supposed enemies of Israel. It was directed at the residents of Israel. I tell you, it will be, this is Luke chapter 10, verse 12, I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the skies? No, you will go to the depths. But even so, Jesus says, you start with peace. The kingdom of God is about peace. No matter how we are conditioned in our minds or in our societies, God's kingdom is about peace. The mission of God is about bringing peace. The prophets of old proclaimed it over and over, like in Isaiah chapter 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will rest, will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of what, church? Prince of peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God's message of peace is an urgent message in need of immediate acceptance. And so Jesus sends out the 84 or the 82, whatever the number, know that their mission was urgent and it necessitates the use of as many as possible. We are on a mission, not just any mission, but the mission of God. Years ago, a German by the name of Karl Hartenstein coined this phrase, Missio Dei, which means the mission of God or the sending of God. In recent years, it has become the moniker of what we call the missional church movement. Now, this movement embodies Missio Dei by simply acknowledging that the church has been called to join God in his ongoing mission to reach mankind. As one author asserts, mission is seen as a movement from God to the world. The church is viewed as an instrument for that mission. There is church because there is mission, not vice versa. To participate in mission is to participate in the movement of God's love towards people, since God is a fountain of sending love. Now, historically, Churches of Christ has been on the forefront of this idea. Particularly in the mid-20th century, Churches of Christ took very seriously the call to go. In fact, there was a period where Churches of Christ was the fastest growing Christian sect in America, because we took serious this idea of Jesus sending us out and telling people about the gospel and the good news. It was an integral part of our teaching and our worship. Think about it, church. Remember the songs that we used to sing? Ring out the word. Remember that song? There's a call, come ringing over restless waves. Send the light, send the light. And the Macedonians or something came in there too. We had songs like Be a Light for Jesus. That was part of our worship. That's part of our DNA. When it comes to going out, when it comes to being a light, when it comes to sharing the good news, that is who we are. And that's why we sing about it. And that's why we teach about it. But lately, we've seemed to get lost. We've seemed to press pause on that urgent call to go. What reasons? I don't know. Maybe it is that fear of rejection that I talked about. Maybe it is we're not prepared like we once were. Maybe there are things that we used to go out and say that we've done some study and I don't know that I want to say that anymore. But something has happened where we have lost that fire and that passion to share good news with those who don't know good news. And maybe this morning is as good a time as any other to be reminded that church can't be limited to church programs that benefit those who are already in the church inside. Maybe we need to be reminded that there is a world out there that is in need of much more than what the world offers. Maybe we need to be reminded that the church in 2014 is in existence because a long time ago, Jesus sent 12, and then he sent 72. He sent the 84, and those 84 took the mission of God serious. And maybe we need to be reminded that the church in 2014 needs to take that same mission serious. Maybe we need to be reminded today that that church has been called to go outside. You know, when I was a child, especially in the summer, if I'm in the house and I'm just sitting there, and y'all could tell me if this is your experience too, my mother would say, boy, get up and go outside. Go outside. Well, but mom, and do what? Do something. Go outside. Oh, okay. And I went outside, and I come back, check in every once in a while, get something to eat, or, you know, use the bathroom. But I didn't necessarily have to go home and use the bathroom, but I'm just saying, outside. And today, and I'm not saying this to rag on kids or anything, but man, there's so many things on the inside of our homes that keep us occupied. Internet and TV and Netflix. How many people binge watch shows? Do y'all know what that means? Binge watch means, you know, on Netflix you can get a whole series of a show and you can just sit there, watch commercial free. And binge watching is something that is keeping, man, my furniture at home has some permanent prints of cheeks because of binge watching. But that's what we've become. We've become so stuck on the inside at home. But we've also become stuck inside at church because we have focused so much of our energy on what goes on the inside. Now listen, we have to dedicate some energy towards that. We have to be healthy, right? We've got to do that. But we can't do that to the exclusion of going outside. Author Sally Morgenthaler said, "We have become," and this is a quote, "addicted to the building. In some ways, we have convinced ourselves that the work of God is limited to the experience in the building. It's the reason that many of our disagreements stem from building stuff or worship stuff. It's because the building becomes the center place of our religious experience. Yet the call of Jesus was to go outside. Go outside of our homes, go outside of our churches, and even go outside of our comfort zones." I love that Jesus tells his apostles and the 72, when you go in someone's house, you eat whatever they give you. Now, I have to be honest with you. I will come to anyone's house, but it's going to be hard for me if you put in front of me a bowl of chitlins. Who said, ugh? But I think there's something to what Jesus is saying. It's that you get outside of your comfort zones because you've got to take this mission serious. And if it means that you need to eat a bowl of chitlins, then you eat that bowl of chitlins or create an upset stomach or something, I don't know. Go outside. There are people living and experiencing life outside of these walls, outside of our belief systems, and outside of what we might call comfort. Yet we've been called to go outside. Like the 84, we have been invited to participate fully in the mission of Christ. Let's stop asking God to come in here and join us. Let's go outside and join God in a mission that's already taken place. One guy said, "The question isn't, do we have a mission? The question is, does mission have us?" I want you to wrap your head around that. Does God's mission have us? The mission of God is ongoing. Whether we all right now decide to say, you know what, not going to do it, not participating. Guess what? It's still going to go on. But does God's mission have us? Do we have planted deep within our spirits the urgency that Jesus speaks to his disciples when he tells them, go. The kingdom is near. Go. Church, because of the fall, this world is broken. Because of the fall, there's sin in this world. Because of the fall, there's sickness in this world. Because of the fall, there's death in this world. Because of the fall, there's divorce. Because of the fall, there's abuse. Because of the fall, there's depression. Because of the fall, there's fighting over dumb stuff. Because of the fall, this world is stained and it's broken. And guess what? There are hearts out there that Jesus would call harvest. And he says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Church, I pray that Jesus isn't able to say that the workers are few because Reynoldsburg said, let's leave that for someone else. Will you individually today, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, take serious the mission of God? And will you allow the mission of God to have you? You see, when we get to the book of Acts, we're going to see mission like we've never seen it before. We're going to see people who understood that the mission of God is something serious. And we're going to see the church start in Jerusalem, and we're going to see it grow down to Samaria. And then we're going to see it just explode virally throughout the world. And we're here today because the early church said, we're going to take the mission of God seriously. Missio Dei. I pray that we would join God in mission outside of these walls, that we would not become so consumed about inside these seven walls as to forget that Jesus has called his disciples to go outside, outside of our homes, outside of our churches, outside of our comfort zones. You with me, church? You with me, church? If you're not with me, it's all right to say no, but if you're with me, say yes. Let's pray. God, thank you for your wonderful son and his wonderful example and the wonderful witness that was displayed by those who followed him when he sent them out. God, the way that they took mission serious. Father, the way that mission had a hold of them, the way that the urgency and the passion that they had came from having this deep rooted relationship with the Son. And Father, I'm praying for that type of relationship with the Son. I'm praying for that type of deep rooted relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm praying for that type of relationship where we could see everything he does and hear everything he says and seek to do what he did and to speak what he said. Father, that we would recognize that this world is broken and this world needs you. And there are those who are depressed who needs you. There are people who are sick who needs you. There are people who've been abused who needs you. There are people who are divorced who need you. There are people who are single parents who need you. There are people who are entrenched in poverty who need you. There are people who are suffering the ill effects of mental illness who need you. There are people who are living in broken homes that need you. There are kids that don't have fathers that need you. There are kids that don't have mothers that need you. There are people who have no relatives, no family that need you. God, I pray that we would understand that mission needs to have us and that we would not dare ask you to send someone else, but like the prophet Isaiah, say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Father, I pray that we would understand that your world and your domain is much bigger than church buildings, much bigger than church systems, much better than church doctrine or theology. But that your world is humongous. It's large. Father, help us to understand we need to go outside. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the church can pray for you, be with you, serve you, minister to you, help you to reclaim the mission that God has given you, we want to do that for you as we stand and sing this song. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you've been studying, and you want to confess Jesus, be baptized, we'll provide that ministry for you as well. Please respond as you would as we stand and sing.